All right, guys, welcome back to the Pursuing Purpose podcast. I am your host, BC Serna, and I am honored to be talking to you today. I wish we were hanging out, but you're tuning in somewhere around the world, and you might be working out or cleaning dishes or laying in bed or just hanging out and chilling. And so thanks for hanging out and chilling with me. I wish this could dialogue and go back and forth. Today's episode is the fifth episode and is another monologue. This will hopefully be one of my last monologues. I really want to start bringing on guests. But anyway, if you're new, welcome. This is the Pursuing Purpose podcast. And the whole hope and dream of this podcast is that we explore and dive into the conversations, ideas, theories, and beliefs of what purpose means to people and how it's different for everyone and how people have different ideas and opinions about it. And different, I think more importantly, stories and experiences that we can kind of like pull wisdom and education and peace and freedom from, and a lot of hope, hopefully. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to explore this new adventure. I'm a filmmaker by trait and a storyteller, and podcast has been a new adventure, and I've learned a lot. Even now, I'm struggling with technical difficulties and trying to figure out this whole audio system, and it's crazy. I wish I had some sort of help, but I'm learning as I go, and people have been helping me. But anyway, yes, so this episode is about mentoring, and so probably one of my favorite topics. So I guess it, just to update you, the first episode was a little bit about my story. It's like a 30-minute monologue. The second one was about purpose, what that means to like my definition and my experience with it. The third was interviewing Perry, one of my best friends. He's an incredible, amazing human. And my fourth one was about cultivating community and what does it mean to have community or start community or find it. And this one's about mentoring. And so these monologues are just kind of me talking just thoughts from my head and my brain, and you're just hanging out with me. And but probably my favorite topic has to be mentoring. And it's probably like the one thing I talk about most to people who want to make a difference or change the world or find their purpose, I guess. I found for sure my purpose through mentoring. And I made a little IGTV video the other day about it too. But so I guess I was mentoring for a long time, and it started though when years back, probably about 5 years ago, I got asked to do a TEDx talk. TED Talks are, I think you guys all know what TED Talks are, but anyway, it was a TEDx talk at a university in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was in Kenya at the time, and they asked me, and it was only a couple weeks away. And so I had no time. I said no originally, which is crazy, which is not a good thing to say no to. But I did, because I was, one, obviously terrified and scared, didn't have enough time to plan. And two, I was in Africa. I didn't have enough time to plan there while I'm busy filming. And then they asked again like a week or so later. So I had about a week and a half or 2 weeks, if that, to write this speech. But I was just like journaling, praying, meditating. And I was like, all right, what's my TED talk? What's like my message to the world? This is 5 years ago. So this is quite some time ago. I didn't really even have too much of a social media presence, or didn't really know much still. I was in the midst of 25 years old, still trying to figure out my life as I am today. But I always ask people when I meet them or just when I'm hanging out with friends, like it's a good conversation starter of like, hey, what would your TED talk be? Because it kind of cuts to the core of what people are passionate about. And it's just fun to hear people be like, hey, you have 10, 15 minutes to give a message to the world. What would it be? So anyway, mine was, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking really hard. How do I do this? How do I come up with something I want the world to know? And at this time, I've traveled a lot. I've worked with a lot with high school, college students, made, you know, films. But I remember, you know, I think I'm in Africa working with like a water project. And I think as I'm brainstorming and doing these equations and formulas in my head, I remember just coming down to the simplicity of mentoring is so just, I think, beautiful and perfect in the essence of like it, anyone can do it. Like everyone's invited to that conversation and that piece, everyone. And also, not only can everyone do it, everyone has a role to do it. And so we've all probably made mistakes and decisions in our life that we're not too stoked or happy about, or maybe some that we are happy about. But let's focus on the ones maybe we're not too happy about. things that have brought us pain or confusion or heartbreak maybe, or different things. And to transcend that pain into purpose, I talk about a lot on this podcast, the pain into purpose, because we don't want people to feel those emotions. We don't want people to feel shame or guilt. And so we, I think, have like some sort of responsibility and opportunity, actually more important, to help younger people not go through those same things on an intimate level. And mentoring, which also could be called discipleship, but mentoring for me was the word that I came up with while I'm thinking about this TED Talk. Sorry, my brain is like a squirrel, so I get sidetracked. So I'm writing down all these ideas, a lot of ideas of how to change the world, what to make a difference, what's my message to the world at 25 years old, and this was 5 years ago. And I just wrote it, I was like, mentoring. I was like, I want to dive deep on why mentoring is so crucial, not only becoming a mentor, but seeking mentors. And so I wrote this little speech. I mean, I never even shared the video. It is online somewhere. Please don't go watch it because I have no idea. It was bad. But I've never shared about it. I never really talked about it. But yeah, there's a TEDx talk somewhere online. I think maybe it has like 1,000 views, but I'm really embarrassed by it. And so the four topic points, because I wanted to kind of make it like very digestible to understand. But what I was coming to understand was like, what did I learn and experience from mentoring and seeking mentors? And the four topic points I came up with in my TED Talk, but also what I'm talking about now, is you learn more about love, you learn more about time, you learn more about the world, and you learn more about yourself. And I kind of branched on those topic points. One, you learn more about the world because every day we are saturated with so much negativity and bad news, and even just like advertisements, just so much thing, but like mostly like we're thrown so much in one day. And let's just say negativity. So there's a lot of weight that comes on with like shootings or bombs or deaths or suicide that just weighs on our heart and soul, or even like things happening around the world, like refugee crisis and all these things. And they weigh heavy on our heart and soul, which is good, because that means we're experiencing compassion and empathy. Like, that's a good feeling to have. But then we're stuck sometimes thinking like, okay, well, what do I do with this? Like, how do I go live in a refugee camp in Syria or Lebanon? And do I go to Africa and help? Like, if you have those resources and if you have, you know, certain connections, that's awesome and great. But obviously we not all have those resources or the finances. But when you become a mentor, you do your part, you do with what you can do with what's right in front of you. There's like a quote that says something like that, but it's like, you know, do what you do with what time you have now with like what's right in front. I don't know the quote. If you know the quote, then you're better than me. But I love that quote because you're doing what you can. And so if you're in high school or college or just a young adult or an adult or whatever, and you're mentoring, you know, you're helping younger people, and it gives you a little bit of peace and freedom knowing that like there is bad stuff happening in the world, but you're trying your hardest. Maybe you donate somewhere and maybe you do travel somewhere, but when you're mentoring, you kind of have this breath of fresh air of like, okay, I'm doing my best with what I have in front of me, with the time and the energy and resources I have, I'm doing my best right now. And so it gives you a perspective on the world of like what change looks like. Like when you're mentoring someone and you see transformation and you see a change in someone's life, you get this breath of fresh air of like hope, and you're just like, okay, it's the small pieces that make the big picture. Like it's all these random people doing different things every day that move our evolution society forward. Like maybe you're, I mean, like if you want to go crazy, like maybe you're mentoring the kid that's going to discover cancer, right? But he wasn't going to discover it unless, you know, you came into his life on some way. You can think of these formulas, but you're stopping in some sense, like generational, like traumas. Like there's people who live in a trauma that runs in their family. That's just generational. And when you come out from a fresh, you know, a different perspective, and you help guide and lead these people. And the big thing about mentoring, you know, it's not some sort of like savior idea that you, you know, a lot. It's actually very vulnerable and very intimate. And one of my favorite quotes from Young Life, the program I did for, like 4 or 5 years, was you have to earn your right to be heard. And so mentors a lot of the time come into mentoring and they have this kind of like, I don't want to say all the time, but some do. Some mentors come in and they have this entitlement that they know a lot, or that they that they've experienced a lot and they feel really smart and they're really successful and they're like, oh my God, I'm ready to like change some lives. Like these people better ask me, these kids better ask me questions. They're getting my time for free. And mentoring and the essence of it will humble you, will like bring you down to this level of humility of like, maybe you have been successful, maybe you have done cool things, but these kids don't give a shit. Like the students and kids, and some might be like, if you're a college student and you're Gary Vee, some sort of inspiring speaker or something like that, you might like think it's cool. But when it comes to high school kids and even younger adults and maybe college students, but mostly high school kids, you know, these kids, they don't see the value of mentorship, and they should, but really like it brings you down to a level of like, you, I don't know, that idea of you have to earn your right to be heard. So that's number one, you learn about the world. Number two, you learn about time. So time is, if you don't take time serious, you truly don't take life serious. Like time is the most valuable currency one person will ever have. Like it is so important to know that money comes and goes, cars come and go, your house, you'll move different places, come and go, like so much stuff will come and go. Time will always just go. Like you'll never get back time. And so I hope you could listen to this, can just value your time. Like there's a quote that says like the way you live today is like the way you live your whole life or something like that, where I love that because it's so true. You have to build this routine of a life that you really want to be excited about, to wake up into in the morning. And anyway, mentoring and time, let me come back to it. My squirrel brain, I'm sorry. Time. Yeah. So you start to prioritize and learn about time really quick when you're mentoring, because, you know, sometimes students want to hang out with you randomly throughout different parts of the day or different parts of the weekend. And you start to value, like when you're mentoring, you're not getting paid. You're actually, you know, you're maybe taking your students out to lunch or dinner or, you know, spending your time for free. But you realize when you're done with that, you have this, you know, more limited resource of time. And so what are you going to do with that? Are you going to, yeah, just like binge watch Netflix shows or just consume content and media and get on social media and kind of like maybe potentially waste this time, which it's okay to relax. Like you can watch Netflix and relax. So you start to learn about your priorities and yeah, just how you really spending and valuing your time. By giving it away, by truly just like mentoring. I mean, I spent pretty much every day with a group of students for, you know, 4 years. And, yeah, you learn a lot about time doing that. So the next is love. Holy crap. Love. What a crazy concept. And I don't want to talk about romantic love. But they're one of the same. Love is an incredible, crazy, experience, right? And the moment I feel like we understand the world and God and like everything on a whole nother level is when we have a child. Well, I've never had a baby, but I can't wait. But when you have a child, you create this thing. You help, like you literally help create this human being. You hold in your palm like when it's born, and you die to it. And so basically forever, almost nearly, not forever, but for a long time, you become second in all of your life's priorities. You die to like maybe your dreams, your sleep, your energy, your money, like everything goes to this separate entity of you. And when that thing is, you die to it. And for 15, maybe 20 years, let's say 15 years, for 15 years, all of your priority has been second place to this child. And I don't want to, don't get offended if you say like you're a parent, your dreams die. I don't take that stuff personal. I'm saying like you become second in the world of your world. But anyway, 15 years later, this thing that you helped create, and you died to, give everything to, can look you in the face and say, I hate you. I never want to see you again. Right. And then disappear. Like this is true stories, but also like this could happen. And so that happens. And then 5 years later, that person comes back and they're 20 years old now and they go, hey, I'm sorry, I love you. And all you do is just embrace them and hug them and love them too, right? Like love is a crazy, it's so illogical, right? And so the beauty of love is it is a very unconditional, crazy thing. Like it's so counterintuitive to everything the biology of us humans, you know, like function from. And so you learn about love because you know, I guess I'll just always use my examples from my personal stories, but basically, you know, my high school students, spend a lot of energy, time, money on them. I don't want to say they were my kids, but they were definitely like, I prioritized them over most, you know, different things. And when one of them would like fail a class or do something kind of like, I don't know, we could say dumb, you know, doing drugs or selling drugs or, just kind of doing stuff that, you know, is not good. They would come to me and tell me, and my first biological, you know, reaction is anger and frustration and upset, like madness, anger. I guess sometimes they use anger, you know, it's like, what the heck? Like, why the hell would you go do like fail a class or do this drug or get arrested or something like that? When I'm just like here to help you, like, right? I'm just like reactive, right? And then love is a lot more patient and kind and calm, and it's just illogical. And it comes down to like, oh damn, like, well, let's do homework together and figure out how to get that grade up. Let's go get you out of jail. Let's go pay your bail. Let's go help you out in any situation in your life. And love is just so, and it is a tug of war, people. Like, is I failed a lot of the times. I still do. But I know what I'm capable of. I know what love is capable of when it's done at its best, and when your core self is, you know, healthy and your soul is kind of in a good place. But I'm far from perfect, and so I don't ever want to like think that like I've always done that. But you learn through these experiences of like, holy shit, this kid doesn't need another adult telling them to do their homework. He needs someone to like sit down and do it with them, or they need someone to encourage them, or it needs to be more like encouraging and kind and patient, you know. And I think in our world today, it's just all about trying to fit people into boxes. Like, if you're failing at school or you get arrested or you're gangbanging, doesn't mean you're a gangbanger for life, you know. It's like, so anyway, it teaches you a lot about that. And it's crazy. I've had a lot of close encounters losing students. We've also had students shot and killed on the east side of Denver, and there's just a lot of craziness that comes with it. But yeah, that's number three. And number four is yourself. So obviously love, time in the world is a lot to do with yourself. But the fourth one was you learn a lot about yourself, and you are your greatest inhibitor. Like, you are, it's crazy to think that you are the one keeping you held back from a lot of things. But also, I mean, it's just the relationship you have with yourself is so crucial and important. And you need to learn like what kind of character you are and what kind of personality you have and what kind of strengths and weaknesses you have. And there's nothing, in my opinion, there's a lot of amazing books out there, a lot of experiences, but when you become a mentor, you have to break down your walls. You have to like reveal your flaws and your character in a very vulnerable, crazy form, where it's like being vulnerable with these high school kids and 16-year-old kids, like letting them know about like, you know, your addictions or your struggles or your traumas, and just like being like, dang, the 16-year-old kid can manipulate and turn that on me, and it's kind of scary. Or it can inspire them and transform them and shift them. And so you learn a lot about yourself. And I always come back to like letting people know, like, become a mentor, like be the person in someone's corner. My message and mission from day one has always been, be the person you wish you had growing up. And I had a Young Life leader like towards the end of high school that I kind of knew, barely knew, but still I feel like that leader made a dent in my life and in really small ways, but just it's crazy. Like, be the person you wish you had. Like, there's so many nights in high school and college, in my 20s, that I was just so lonely, alone, like so discouraged, so just not seen. And for me, it comes down to my mantra and mission at the start of this year, when in January, when I like kind of was writing down my purpose, was the quote was from a song, but it's till the loneliest feel known. And that is still like kind of like what get my heart to be, because I've been lonely. I've been like, you know, unseen and unheard, I feel like. And it is dark and it is so like scary. And, you know, to think like 5,000 to 6,000 high school kids every year kill themselves, like, I don't sleep at night. Like, I literally lose sleep like often thinking that like I could just maybe go into more high schools and talk to more kids and you know, do make other things, like these kids wouldn't feel that. And I put a lot of pressure on myself, and a lot of times I can like kind of get through it knowing I'm doing what I can with what I have. But that definitely fuels the fire of like, man, like if there's one kid I can encounter at a high school and just make them feel that for 2 seconds. And I've gotten a lot of handwritten letters and notes from around the world, but also high schools I've worked with and kids I've worked with, and I've seen kids like have breakthroughs. And man, if you ever feel unworthy or not purposeful and you're mentoring a kid and they message you and send you stuff like just of what they've gotten through because of your heart and your story and your vulnerability, your life literally becomes like, I guess, like purposeful. Like you, when you find that purpose, when you discover that purpose, a lot of the themes and topics of this podcast is like success and happiness. Why are so many people pursuing success and happiness that are pursuing success and happiness so unfulfilled or depressed? Or why are people that have accomplished their dreams, that are famous celebrities, that have all the money and fame they could ever dream, going into rehab and depression or committing suicide? Like just the list goes on of like those names you can think of. And I'm not saying they don't have purpose. I'm not saying like purpose is also the only answer. I'm just saying like, let's explore that together. Like let's have that conversation of what does it mean to live for something bigger than yourself? Because I can tell you right now, there's been nights I've struggled with anxiety and depression, even suicidal thoughts. And purpose for me and my faith, like God, obviously for me, but purpose is like I'm not done here on earth. Like, right. When you know that you have this purpose, like when you know that you have this bigger mission than yourself and you want to just kind of end the pain or the trauma or the struggle or the voices in your head, you know, when you just, and you hear God like speak that truth and that breath into your heart and your soul of like, hey, you're here for a bigger reason. And it's going to be so beautiful and makes so much sense. And all of the pieces will come together and align just perfectly. When you figure that out, and there's going to be moments, there's going to be a lot of different moments of affirmation in your life. There's not like this crazy, like even if you literally help that high school student stop from committing suicide, like that's so much affirmation. But once again, we're still humbled in the idea of like, that's a starting point, right? Like that's just piece of it. Like there's so much help that needs to be done. And I hope if you're listening to this, like, you know, like, yeah, the world is slowly getting better. Like more people are getting fed around the world and more people are getting access to clean water, and the world is shifting towards good and love. And I'm very optimistic and hopeful, but also know that there's like a lot of high school kids and college students, but high school kids for me has always been my passion, that are just lonely and they just don't feel seen, heard, loved, and encouraged and like feel like they belong. And so there's no greater message I've ever received from people when they say I became a young life leader or a mentor because of you, or because of your story. And for me, that just like, man, that gives me so much excitement and peace and freedom and joy. Cause I went, even when I was mentoring these kids, I went through a lot of dark stuff and very dark seasons of my life. Like my, you know, I lost my dad. I lived out of my car. I lost my community house I was living in. Like so much tough stuff happened in my life when, I was mentoring my East Side Young Life kids in Denver for 4 years. Like I literally lived out of my car for almost a year and just couch topped and lost all my money. Like tons of bad stuff happened. Like the worst, like losing my dad, like all this horrible stuff happened. And I don't know if you listened to episode one, but basically what I said was, like there was a moment where God, I feel like spoke to me and I was like journaling and I remember just praying and God was like, hey, that's cool. You want to change the world and make a difference. At that time I was really young. I was like 23 and I had these huge dreams of like changing the world in these massive scales, which is dope. But basically God said, Hey, that's awesome. You want to change the world like that? That's really cool. And I think that's, you know, sweet of you. He's like, but if all you do, when you're on your deathbed and you're about to die, if all you did was love these kids really well, like where they're at, he's like, I'll call you successful. And I remember thinking that and I was like, holy shit, that's crazy that like he's not impressed by like me trying to change the world. Even if I did change the world, whatever that freaking means, what a crazy like, you know, sentence. But it, like, God's more like, hey, just freaking love these kids. Like, and he's not even saying like, make sure they believe in God or, you know, this is this or have character. He's just saying, hey, just love them, man. Like, just be there for them, like love them. And I, for me, like it literally took this huge weight off my shoulders. And I was just like, and I still like try to do my best to make a difference and make videos and all that stuff. But it just took this huge weight off my shoulders. I was like, dang. And I think that message goes for our whole life of just everyone in front of us, just love them. But for that, it was like, hey man, my only mission is to just love these kids. And so if they get arrested, if they sell drugs, if they, whatever, it's like, just freaking love them, man. He's like, your mission's not to change anyone. You're like, you know, your mission's not to, you know, do anything to anyone. It's just, it's to love them. And, you know, mentoring and love, it's transformational. It's not transactional. I always think of that, you know, where it's like our entire biology and our culture, say everything should be transactional. It should be say, I did this for you, so I need something back. Like, right. It's this give and receive. And that's the whole way we function from like our time. Like we value our time. It's like, hey, I get paid X amount of money. Like, why should I be mentoring kids? You know, people pay me to life coach, you know? And it's like, dang, like get off like that level for sure. But it's just this tug of war, and this push and pull of those things. And, you know, it's like, Judah Smith was saying the other day, like earning and deserving, right? We earn something. We have to earn it and deserve it. We feel like we deserve something. It's this huge thing with our, like I said, our culture. But mentoring is this humbling act of just, and the truth is you might not get like a round of applause for it. You might not ever really see, like, Tony Robbins said, a legacy is like a garden we'll never see, like planting a garden we'll never see. And you imagine like working on this garden, like digging these holes, planting these seeds, soiling it, nurturing it, doing all these things to this garden, and then you die and you never actually see the fruit of the garden. And that's kind of like what a legacy is. And so sometimes we do see fruit. So sometimes we do see our students graduate high school or go to college or get jobs or, you know, succeed in different ways. But that's kind of like the beauty of love, right? It's a mystery, right? It's like it's part of the greatest adventure we'll ever be on in life, is like the stories and memories you create with love, whatever you're doing, are 10 million times cooler than any story you're ever going to create with like you trying to succeed or, you know, you trying to just go skydiving or travel the world. Like it's kind of just like, I mean, those stories are cool and I support everyone doing whatever they're doing, but I'm just telling you, like, transformation and stories of like revival and redemption and love and action, like those are the stories that we're going to remember. And those are the stories that are going to live on before us or beyond us. And those are like the legacy. Like, you know, it's like, for me, I didn't understand what my young life leader, when I was a senior in high school, I didn't understand he was cool or amazing until like I was 21, 22. Like, it wasn't years later. And you might never even know down the road too, but that's what's beautiful about life, is you're not supposed to know. It's a freaking badass adventure. And like, what I always think is like, we're one stroke of like, I guess you think of like, if God's making a mural and all we see is one stroke, which is our stroke. But if you back up, there's this huge masterpiece. Like, you got to think like, you just got to be doing like your one stroke. Like, you have to be doing your part, and you might mentor a kid that creates a freaking crazy movement or change or shift in the world, you know? And, you just got to really, you know, go on that adventure and dive within yourself, like figure out what's holding you back from mentoring, figure out what scares you from it. But the reason I say anyone can do it is because it's about being a listening ear, an encouraging supporter, and just being in a kid's corner when they're down and tough. A lot of the days you won't see much fruit. Like, I'm telling you, 4 to 5 years I've done this, and I've like had moments of affirmation that would really change my life. But at the same time, it's like, it's not a transactional thing. It's transformational. And you got to think that that's your role to play. But I'm 30 now, and I'm still going to be working with high school kids, but I'm creating a mentorship project for 20-year-olds. And you can be 18, 19 if you want, but I'm going to basically be launching it within the next month or so. So if you want to be mentored by me and some other friends of mine, I'm going to be launching this project, and going to be bringing on a handful of people to mentor and help lead them towards like their goals and dreams. Basically being the person I wish I had when I was in my 20s. I spent my whole 20s just doing so much cool stuff and lived every single dream I had came true, and lived in just such an incredible decade of tons of vibrant colors and failures and successes and highs and lows. But basically there was a lot of things I didn't have that I wish I had when I was in my 20s. And so I'm creating a project to help people with what I wish I had, which is like community and support and exciting stuff like that. So guys, we're coming up on 30 minutes, guys and girls. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this was beneficial and good in some way. The monologues are always, it's really just like thoughts going on in my head. And I guess like dialogues with people when I interview people is going to be so much better because it'll be a conversation. It'll be back and forth. And I'm very sure I missed a lot of pieces of what it means to be a mentor and stories of mentorship that I've been through. This was 30 minutes of me just kind of flushing out my ideas of mentoring to me. But I really appreciate your support and your love. And I just hope that you today, in some way, you feel seen, heard, loved, and encouraged, and know that you have a role and that you are, your story matters so much. Like, even if you feel like your story is so small because it is not crazy, like you survived prison for 20 years or drug addiction or whatever, like people think that their stories are small because they didn't go through something crazy. I personally didn't come from prison or drug addiction or, you know, a crazy family. Like, but you have to learn how to figure out your story and figure out, most importantly, your traumas of your life. That's going to be a whole nother topic, your traumas and your pains and your struggles. If you can figure out moments of trauma and pain and struggles, then I promise you, you can formulate that into your purpose and into something beautiful and amazing. And that is the beauty of this life, is we get to turn pain into purpose. And I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this, hanging out with me for 30 minutes. And I just feel super honored. I don't know how to end these because I literally feel like crying right now. But it means the world that you believe in this podcast and believe in me. And this podcast is starting out really rocky and slow, but people have been sharing it on their Instagrams and giving reviews on iTunes. It doesn't seem real to me. So thank you so much. And I love you guys. I hope today you feel a sense of peace and alignment within your heart and soul, and that you find quiet time to just sit in that quiet space of off technology, off social media, get out, you know, side and just go appreciate this beautiful world, appreciate your healthy body and appreciate your story and whatever circumstance you're in. I've been in the lowest, craziest circumstances, and God is good. And that's part of the adventure, y'all. I wish you guys the best, and thank you for hanging out with me for 30 minutes. I love you all. Thank you so much. Take care.